going to hand straight over to Ben.
Brilliant. Thanks, guys, for having that. Is this, Adrian, are you recording with this? Can I just put it down here? Is that all right? Do keep that open. We'll be looking at it together this evening. But before we do that, I'm going to pray.
Father God, thank you for your word that you speak to us in the Bible. Pray that you give us ears to hear and hearts that are willing to listen tonight. Pray that if we're tired, you'd wake us up and that we would have attentive ears throughout this evening. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Okay, what's going to happen in 41 days? Anyone know?
Christmas
can happen in 41 days, okay? The most Christmassy scene I could find when I typed it into Google. Every Christmas, millions of people across the UK go to church who never normally go to church. I don't know if you know people like that, I'm sure you do. People who only go to church at Christmas, millions of them. And they go and they love it. They love the Christmassy decorations, they love singing carols, Christmas carols, and they love the little nativity scene, you know, with the kind of donkey and the manger and all that kind of stuff. They love it. But they go away and they forget about Jesus because they just don't think he's important. They love the Christmassy stuff, but Jesus, they don't give him a second thought. What's all the fuss about? That's exactly my experience growing up. Went to church every Christmas, didn't care about Jesus. What's the fuss about? I love the carols. I love the kind of Christmassiness. Jesus, what's the fuss about? I wonder if that bothers you if you're a Christian. I wonder if that makes you feel a little bit anxious. The thought of millions of people going to church and then coming away and just thinking Jesus isn't important. What's the fuss about? Maybe if that doesn't bother you on a national scale, think about the world. 7 billion people, okay? 5 billion of them just think Jesus isn't important. What's the fuss about? Maybe your friends at school, perhaps your parents, brothers and sisters. I'm sure you know people who, when you talk about Jesus, they just think, what's the fuss about? If Jesus really is king of the world, if he's so important, then why do so many people reject him? That's what we're going to be thinking about tonight, okay? And I think when we ask that question, it makes us feel a little bit unsettled. I don't know if that's how you feel, that's certainly how I feel. Millions of people, billions of people, thinking just Jesus isn't important. What's the fuss about? That's exactly how the disciples felt in the chapter that we're about to look at. You see, in chapters 10 to 12 of Matthew, thousands of people rejected Jesus. I think when we think about Jesus' life, we largely think that people loved him, they went to listen to him. That's true, but in that Matthew chapters 10 to 12, thousands rejected him, entire cities. And in fact, the religious leaders who were waiting for him to come began to plot to kill him. Jesus has basically been rejected. And the disciples are like, what's going on? If you're the king of the world, why are you doing such a bad job at explaining who you are, persuading people? Have a look with me at verse 10 of the chapter that we're looking at together. Chapter 13, verse 10. Jesus speaks in a parable, and then the disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? Do you see that question? Why do you speak to the people in parables? That's the tone of the question. I think sometimes we think that parables are a really simple thing. So, you know, if you've got someone that's not very clever, you know, speak to them in a parable so they can understand. That's how we think of parables. I've used a PowerPoint tonight because I'm such a good communicator. You've got to use a PowerPoint, okay? You know, Jesus, if you'd used... Is this the modern-day equivalent of a parable? Something that helps us follow, shows us pictures to help us understand? If that's the case, then why is it the disciples are so confused about Jesus using a parable? They say, verse 10, why do you speak to the people in parables? You see, a parable may use very simple words, but getting to the bottom of what it actually means is really tricky. Let me explain. Can I have four volunteers? Ben, yes, you, you, and you. Right, head cut. Oi, oi, sorry, yeah, just names. Okay. That one. Okay, basically, you've just got different verses, but what I want you to do is to stand in order. So you've got... verse 8, so you're going to go over here, and you're going to stay there, and you're going to go, what have you got? 7, you're going to go here, and you're going to go over here, okay? So hopefully that's going to work for you guys. You guys read left to right, don't you, Chris Country? What way do you read? When you're in that page? That's right, that's good. Okay, good. Go for it. So. What language are you reading? Okay, I'll read the first one, okay? Verse 2. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Large crowd gathered around him, going to a boat, and while the people stood on the shore, taught them parables. Go for James, verse 3, 4.
Then he told them that many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the bird came and ate it up.
Brilliant, thank you. Just pause there for a moment, okay? So, what Jesus has just told a bunch of farmers is that it's a bad idea to plant seed where birds can eat it on the path, okay? Great, number 2.
Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root.
Brilliant, okay? So, it's a bad idea. Bear in mind, Jesus is speaking to probably lots of farmers, people that know how farming works. Don't plant where birds can eat it. Don't plant in shallow soil. Okay, go for them through.
Other seed fell among thorns, which sprung up and choked the plants.
Great. Okay, don't plant among thorns. All right. Don't plant among thorns. Go for it. Finally.
Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown.
Fantastic. Okay. Jesus, people have come to hear a king. A king who's promised to change the world. And he explains to them how gardening works. Okay, that's what happens, right? Don't plant it where birds can eat it. Don't plant it where there's shallow soil. Don't plant it where the thorns are going to get it. Plant it in good soil. That's what he says. Right? I mean, we may even know from Sunday school what this story is about, but imagine the first hearers. Gardening advice. Great, go sit down. Thank you. Thanks for chasing. Great. Gardening advice. And so the disciples come to Jesus and they say, verse 10, why do you speak to them in parables? What's that mean? And Jesus responds with verses 11 and 12. Have a look. What does it mean? He replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. Jesus responds by saying that my word divides people. It divides people into two groups. It divides people into those who know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven and those who don't. Do you see that in verse 11? Those who understand and those who don't. It divides people into those two groups. It sieves and sorts people into the two groups. And what's the difference between them? Well, it's not an intelligence issue. It's not that these guys are really sharp and so they got it first time around and these guys didn't. The disciples don't understand what's going on. Jesus, have a look at verse 18. Jesus has to explain it to them. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. The disciples didn't get it. Nobody got it. No one understood what Jesus was saying. The only people who got it were those that came to Jesus to find out what it meant. So you've got these two groups. Those who get it and those who don't. Those who go to Jesus to find out what it means. And those who walk away and say, oh great, that was an interesting story, but what's all the fuss about? Two groups. I need some help, okay? So can I have you, can I have you? And it's Isaac, is that right?
Yeah.
Great, Isaac, can I have you? Okay, well, I just want you to say about Chris for a moment, okay? Now you two are an automatic door, okay? Now how do automatic doors work?
We open when someone comes.
You open when someone comes close to you, don't you? Right, okay, so if you just put your arms out like that, okay, it's a slightly unevenly shaped door, but that's okay. Yeah, thank you, that's better. Now, okay, just can you stay where you are, right? And can you open the door just from where you are, please?
No.
You can't. Why? Why?
Okay, go that way.
Because I can't really reach.
You can't reach, okay? So at what point is it? Can you come closer then? How are you going to open the door?
I'm going to walk up to it.
Okay, keep going. Fantastic. Right? You can. The senses have worked and the door has opened. Amazing. It's a miracle. You didn't even touch it. Okay? And close again. Okay, can you open it from there?
No,
you can't. Where does it open?
When I walk close.
How close? Well, how close? Give us a demonstration again. This is amazing. Thank you. Great. Now, in case you didn't know how automatic doors work, that's how they work, okay? And of course, that door opens when you go close, alright? You can't stand away and look at it and think, I really want to go into Tesco's, but I just don't know how to get in. That is just so complicated. Okay? That isn't how it works. An automatic door works. You come close and it opens. The group that Jesus speaks to divide into two. Those who come close to find out what he's talking about, to listen to him, to understand. And those who listen to him and think, What's the fuss about? Sure, I want to go into Tesco's, but how? The door won't open, I don't understand. What if they've not come close? Do you see that?
God's word divides people into two groups, alright?
But what we learn is that actually, the way it divides is based on what's going on the inside. Have a look with me. And this is probably the hardest bit, so you have to have your Bibles open, you have to really listen to what I'm saying. This part's a little bit complicated, okay? God's word divides people based on what's going on in the inside. Have a look with me in verses 13 to 15. Jesus tells them why he speaks in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not understand. So we've seen it, haven't we? People are listening to Jesus. They're seeing him, but they don't understand. Verse 14. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, who's an Old Testament prophet, okay? God was appointing him to preach the word. Look at verse 14. How are people going to respond as he preaches God's word? Verse 14. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. What he's saying is that you're always going to be listening, but you're never going to get it. You're always going to be seeing, but you're never really going to see. Why? Verse 15. For this people's heart has become callous. It just means heart, okay? Their heart has become hard. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. The reason they don't see, the reason they don't hear, is because they have hard hearts. Now, this isn't something that a doctor could fix. I'm no doctor, but is it a CT scan or an MRI scan I'm looking at? I don't know. You know, how would you test for a dodgy heart? Because you won't be helped. You know, isn't it a doctor's here, anyway? Oh, what's it called? ECG, that's what I was thinking about. Okay, great. Now, you know, a doctor, you go into hospital, you get an ECG scan, to make sure your heart's doing all right. It's not going to pick up if you've got a hard heart, okay? It doesn't work, that's not a physical thing. If you've got a hard heart, it means when you listen to God's word, you're one of those people, rather than saying, I really want to find out what that means. I don't understand it. Jesus, help me. You say, oh, that's kind of interesting and weird. What's all the fuss about? And you walk away. And it reveals what's going on the inside. If you've got a hard heart, you walk away. You're not interested. Let's have a look at the soft hearts, verses 16 and 17. Jesus says, but blessed are your eyes. He's speaking to the disciples, remember? Those with soft hearts who come to him to find out what it means. Verse 16, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Remember, this is the disciples who came to Jesus and said, why are you speaking to us in parables? We don't understand. Help us. Jesus explains the parables to them. Two groups. Those who respond by coming to Jesus and asking for his help. Those who walk away and say, what's the big deal? What's the fuss about? And these guys are the ones with the soft hearts, the ones that Jesus says are blessed, compared to these guys who have hard hearts. They don't care. What's the fuss about? Okay, so, is Jesus' preaching failure? He's doing a bad job of persuading people, is he? Okay, let's have a little look at some videos. This will help us, hopefully, understand this. Does anyone know, can you see that? No, you can't. Let's put it on full screen. It's only a very short clip, okay? Watch this very closely and tell me what you think's going on. Anyone got an idea what's going on in that video clip? AJ thinks maybe, yes. Took him a while. Jonathan thinks he's got it. Anyone else think they've got it? James thinks he's got it. You think you've got it. You think you've got it. Really? Chris maybe thinks he's got it. James, what is it?
Yeah, because is it like wet mud drying because it doesn't have any like water
on it? Fantastic. That's great. It's wet mud drying up in the sun and cracking. Do you see that? Now watch this, okay? This one is going
to...
This is amazing, I'm learning.
Yeah.
Okay. This one's going to be a little bit easier to tell what's going on, okay? It keeps it away, okay, but... It's just, it's beautiful to watch, but just such a waste of ice cream, isn't it?
It's like
a
half melted.
Oh, sweet.
I know. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. What's that? You could have eaten that.
I know. That's a waste. I wasted so many ice creams filming that. Okay, it goes on for about 5 minutes, so I won't show it all. And now, how much can you watch ice cream melt? Apparently for about 5 minutes.
The whole thing.
Okay, why don't I show you those two videos? In both instances, the sun is heating up two separate objects, but it produces radically different responses. The sun heats the wet mud, it dries, it cracks, it becomes hard. The sun heats the ice cream, and it melts. Does the sun fail because of the two different responses? Not at all. It's entirely down to the object that is heating. One will crack and become hard, and the other will melt and become soft. And do you see that Jesus' preaching isn't failing? When people listen to Jesus and they respond in those two different ways, how do they respond? One group, what do? Think about the automatic doors. They go towards it, they come close, because they don't understand, they want to find out more. How did the other group respond? They stand back, right? They go, oh, Jesus, what's the fuss about? Okay, what's gardening advice? I don't want to know about that. What's going on in the inside? Jesus' word is dividing them into two groups. Those who have soft hearts and those who have hard hearts. Jesus' preaching isn't failing. It's revealing what's going on in the inside. Okay, hopefully you're with me. Let me just put this PowerPoint back on. It's revealing what's going on the inside, okay? I think this verse 12 actually probably really helps us here. So quickly have a look at verse 12 again. Jesus says, whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever doesn't have, even what he has will be taken from him. If you have something, an inclination towards Christ, so wanting to find out more, a soft heart, and you come to him, he will give you an abundance. If you have something, and you just think, okay, so I've heard that message about Jesus, but actually how I'm going to respond is I'm going to say, what's the fuss about? Even what you have will be taken from you. That's what Jesus says. So his preaching divides, and it puts us into two groups, those with hard hearts, those with soft hearts. I mean, those four guys that came out earlier with the different soils to come out again. I can't remember who you were, Ben, great, James. James, I think you were, and Anne, I think you were as well, were you? Yeah. Yeah, when he's come out again. If you can remember the order you were standing in last time, it might just make my job a little bit easier. James, you were here. You were right there, weren't you? Yeah, great. And then 20 is you. 22 is you. 23 is you. Great. Okay, fantastic. Go for it from the top. Follow along in your Bibles, guys. This is really helpful. Go for it.
Half or what? When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is the seed sown along the path.
Fantastic, okay. So Jesus is explaining to the disciples, those with soft hearts, who want to find out more, what's going on in the parables. And he's saying there are four different kind of responses, okay. And the first is someone, they're a little bit like our guys that come at Christmas, okay. They're here, and they say, what's the fuss about? And they walk away straight away. There's basically no understanding whatsoever. They walk away. Okay, great, thank you. What's the next one?
The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away.
Fantastic, thank you. These people are a bit more complicated, aren't they? They seem quite keen to begin with. You tell them about Jesus and they're like, oh yeah, I need to be forgiven for my sin. I want to hear more about this. But then actually, as soon as difficult times come, as soon as it's hard to follow Jesus at school, as soon as you realise that it means that you can't go out with a non-Christian, as soon as you realise that it means you're going to have to put Jesus above sport, suddenly you think, Jesus, what's the fuss about? Okay, great. Third response. Thank you.
The seed falling among thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of the wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful.
Brilliant, thank you. Okay, and these are the most confusing of all, I think, probably for us, because these are people who, not you, Anne, sorry, the person you're representing, they hear and they respond, and to all intents and purposes, they look like people with soft hearts, potentially, but actually what we see is that they don't produce any fruit. You see, over time, they begin to believe lies. they begin to believe in lies, and they suddenly, over time, although you wouldn't necessarily see it straight away, but over time you begin to see in their lives them saying, they may not ever say these words, Jesus, what's the fuss about? But in their hearts, in the way they're living their lives, with their friends at school, all that they're doing, they're actually saying, by their lifestyle, Jesus, what's the fuss about? Which leads us to the final group.
So the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown.
Fantastic, thank you. And this person is the person that produces fruit. And I think there's a key word there. Read it one more time, see if someone can finish it up.
But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown.
Fantastic, thank you. They hear the word, and what do?
Produce a crop.
They produce a crop, but they go on. Yeah, go on, loud, this is good. They understand it, okay? So they hear the word, what do they do? Sorry, go on, I am a little bit deaf.
Understand it.
Okay, go on, say it, good, right? They hear the word, they understand it. Now, these three, they heard the word, did they understand it? No. It's interesting, we've heard about how many responses was I saying earlier? We've got Jesus' preachers and his word divides into how many groups? Two groups. Okay? What do we have here? How many groups?
Two.
Four. Three, two. I mean, I'm no expert at counting, right?
Okay. Three, five.
Because you said those three and then was me, so.
Great!
Two.
Fantastic, there are two groups. Right? You're absolutely right. Those who understand the word, and those who don't. Do you see that? Those who produce fruit in their lives, following Jesus, and those who don't.
Alright?
Two groups. That's not true. Okay, go see that. You're an illustration. Thank you. Okay. Why did I get you out? Why did I come to show you this? Why does Jesus say there are four different responses when actually there are only two? Well, we've seen there are only two. We've seen the differences that they... What does the person that produces fruit do? As he was, after hearing the word, what does he do?
Understand.
He understands. Now, did the disciples naturally understand?
No.
It divides. They had to go to Jesus, ask him for help, to find out what it means. It divides. Those with hard hearts, what do they say? What's the fuss about? Jesus, what's the fuss about? Okay? This is a polar bear asleep with a penguin about to wake him up. Okay? It's a very brave move on part of the penguin. I don't think I'd do that if I was a penguin. I think I'd get annihilated by the polar bears. I want you guys just to really quickly wake up. This is the last couple of minutes where we think, where does this hit us? Okay? Where is this going to go with our lives? Tomorrow morning, on Saturday, on Monday at school. Okay? Where's this headed? Okay? And I think I want to just say two things. Thinking about all that we've learned. Try keeping it in your minds. Okay? And the first two of you who are really keen. This is for those of you who really want to tell your friends about Jesus. Christmas is coming. Maybe there'll be an opportunity. You're already praying about it. The first thing I want to say is to you guys. And it's this. When we share the message about Jesus, it divides people into those two groups. That's what the message does. And it produces a mixed response. There are only those two responses, but it looks very different, doesn't it? Look at those four people we had out here. It can look very different. But ultimately, there are only two responses. And it's based on what's going on the inside. Whether we're going to soften our hearts or harden them. Whether we're going to come to Jesus to find out more and ask him for his help. Whether we're going to say, Jesus, what's the fuss about? And when you tell your friends about Jesus, you're going to get mixed responses. And that's okay. That's what the message does. That's not a surprise. It shouldn't shock us. That's just what the message does. And sometimes it won't be the response we want. Okay? Sometimes it will. Praise God. Sometimes it won't. But part of the sharing of the message is it will produce different responses. And so you should be prepared when you're sharing about Jesus with your friends, with your family, whoever it is, it's going to produce different responses. That shouldn't come as a shock. Be prepared for that. Okay, that's the first thing. And the second thing to you guys who are keen is this. How are we going to change our friends from being people who walk away and say, Jesus, what's the fuss about, to people who come to Jesus and say, actually, what you're saying is really interesting. I actually need to be saved from God's judgment, and I know that Jesus is the way to do that. How are we going to change how that happens? Have a look with me at verse 15, chapter 13, verse 15. Isaiah's preaching to God's people, and their hearts have become callous, they've become hard. They hardly hear with their eyes, they close their eyes, hear with their ears, sorry, they close their eyes. Otherwise they might see and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Who's going to change our friends' hard hearts? Who's going to change my parents' hard hearts? Well, it's not me. It's not a really good preacher at church. It's not somebody who's really gifted at explaining complicated things. It's not a doctor. The only person that can change hard hearts is God. God is the one who can heal. He's the one that can change our friends' hard hearts. And so, you guys, when you're sharing the message, don't be surprised when people respond differently. But secondly, pray for them. God is the one who can change hard hearts. You can't. He can. Pray for them. I am an answer to prayer, okay? So when I was 15, one of my best friends, Will, told me about Jesus, and I said, Jesus, what's the fuss about? And in fact, I said much worse things than that. I was quite rude to Will, okay? He plucked up the courage, and he probably went away and cried, because I was pretty nasty to him, actually. Will had been praying for me. Members of his church have been praying for me. When I was 17, I eventually gave my life to Christ. I trusted in him. I have turned from somebody who went from saying, Jesus, what's the fuss about, to somebody who genuinely wanted to read the Bible, find out who Jesus was, and come to trust in him myself. That is a miracle that God brought about. And so I thank him for my salvation. And it was on the back of the faithful prayer of those to change my heart. And God did. God can change our hearts. Expect mixed responses. That's for you guys who are key. Just really quickly, I know, sorry, wake up thinking about these guys, okay? This is for you guys who come to 421, perhaps come to All Saints Club, been to Jazz Club. You've heard about Jesus so many times. You've heard people like me up here speaking so many times. Your parents have spoken to you about Jesus so many times. And I think, I really want you to know that actually when you hear God's word, it's a very dangerous thing. We've seen that Jesus, when he preaches, his word divides people. We can't be impartial. We can't sit back and allow when God's word is spoken to us just to wash over us and think, I'll think about that later. We respond in one of two ways. We come to Jesus and we say, God, help me. I'm not capable of living like this. God, help me to see who Jesus is. Help me. That's the soft heart. But if we ignore, if we listen to God's word and think, yeah, that's great, but I'm not going to do that right now. If we think, yeah, that's great, and say that with our lips, but actually in our lifestyle, we consistently say, Jesus, what's the fuss about? We're hardening our hearts. And it's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous trajectory to be on. Every time we hear God's word, we respond. Our hearts are softened, our hearts are hardened. And week in, week out, you guys are getting this, and it's dangerous stuff if you consistently are hardening your hearts, okay? I'm not saying that is what you guys are doing, but I'm warning you. It's a dangerous thing. When you're listening to someone preach, when you're reading the Bible, be those who have these soft hearts, who come to Jesus and ask him for his help. Help to understand, help to live it out. We're not perfect, we're not always going to get it right. But do you see that heart attitude? The heart that says, God, I really want to. That says, yeah, okay, maybe I do, but not right now. Jesus, what's the fuss about? Alright? So, something for you guys who are keen. Something for you guys who come week in, week out. It's dangerous, okay? Bear that in mind. I hope that's been helpful. I hope it's something that you can take away for the week ahead, alright? I'm going to close the practice now. Heavenly Father, thank you for the great privilege that it is that we can hear you speak to us. And we know that that's a dangerous thing, so we pray for our hearts now. We ask that, by your grace, you would be softening our hearts. If there's anything that's been said tonight that people find difficult, pray for them that they would ask you for your help, that they would ask us for help to understand. And pray, Father, that you protect us from harming our hearts, going away, And either saying with our lips, or thinking in our minds, or in our lifestyle, Jesus doesn't matter. I pray that we would never do that. We thank you for your grace and kindness to him in Christ. I pray that we'd be listening in tonight. We ask it in his precious name. Amen.
Amen.